Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba in the Bloom, episode 335. It's a week three Fab preview episode for you here. We'll talk some news, upcoming schedules, two start pitchers, players to target, and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
We are good. We are getting back in the in-season groove, getting back in the Fab preview groove. Only three games today. That wasn't ideal, but I guess that means less news for us to cover.
Yes, there's much less news to cover. I got to update that real quickly for us. But yeah, short day, which stinks, but it makes sense. It's a travel day. It's also a lot of home openers for opposing teams are coming up, so they always do that kind of grace period to get the days off and all that. Yep. Mumbo jumbo, because like
we had a full slate on Monday, so
which was great. So we're getting back in the mode. But yeah, as you said, back in the groove. It's reminded me now. So it's been like a pod, at least like mostly a pod a day for me. I've had at least an article a day. Like, yeah, vacation was cool. It was real cool, but we're back, baby. And it's the usual. We kind of joke every time before we start our Thursday shows. It's like, how we doing? How you doing? I'm tired. But when we get the show turns on, we're good to go. But it's like,
Yep.
Every Thursday night, it's like the end of the week, running out of steam. And it's I got T-ball, a game Friday night. I think you start practice this week.
Yeah, we've got practice tomorrow night. First game on Saturday for T-ball. Yes,
this is our fifth game of the year. So yeah, we've been rolling.
Yeah, you're a grizzled vet at this point, but you did it last year, so you know.
Yeah, this is year two.
You knew what you were getting into. This one I'm doing with our youngest now. He's now in T-ball and he's fired up. So we'll see, man.
That's awesome.
I know what to expect, and I know the bar is low.
That's the kicker. Like I tell everybody, it's organized chaos. For anybody that's done it before, it's basically 45 minutes to just get through the darn thing. Is what you got there. And at least, you know, that's your Saturday. My Saturday, I get to go to a six-year-old girl's Barbie birthday party. So that'll be cool.
That'd be high on my list.
Me and the dads, it's going to be at a bowling night. So I know what me and the dads will be doing. Let's put it that way. That's fine.
Yeah, you always got a crew that,
Yeah, we roll deep. We roll deep to these things. We have a lot of girl dads in this neighborhood. So we know each other very well. It's not a bad thing. It's just, it's that. And then Easter Sunday for everybody out there. So however you plan to celebrate that, if you celebrate that, enjoy.
Yep, got to make sure the Easter Bunny's on his way. So we'll have that on Sunday. LH in the chat, what's up? First time tuning in live. Love the Fab previews, fellas. The only thing I regularly watch and listen to other than every baseball game. So that's awesome. Thanks for hanging out.
Appreciate it. We got another Tom. Looks like he's the new one of the chat. Great show, guys. Yeah. Appreciate it, Tom.
Always like to see some new faces in the chat. So keep it coming.
And the old faces, of course.
And I mean, even if it's Chikini, even if it's Burks. Even if it's Raj,
there's one old face that hasn't returned in 4 months. It feels like
there's one old face that can stay away.
RotoWire Sunday evenings, he can stay there.
He frequents other pods now, which is that's fine.
Yep, keep the reps going for you. But all right, let's get to the news and notes. We mentioned we have a couple things. I'll say right off the top. That Papa Bloom Barbie party might be on my list.
Yep.
Different type of Barbie party, Papa Bloom.
Let's move on here.
I want to say before we talk to the notes I put down right before the show, we got a note, an update. Jordan Lawler left Thursday night's game after hit by pitch on the hand. Obviously, we have no idea ramifications on that, but keep that in mind, especially if you have Friday lineup setting. Like, keep an eye on that situation.
Hit his first career home run earlier in the game. So that's great.
He's actually hitting like over 300 so far. Like, he's playing good ball. So it's like, and more importantly, I'm like, any other time he's been called up, he's playing every day. So that's all we've ever wanted for Jordan Lawler. And it's a shame if it's a setback. Hopefully it's minor. Hopefully it's like a Chase DeLauder situation and he's back in the lineup Friday or Saturday. Also, if you are setting Friday lineups, I'll just get this out of the way now. There is three games in the 1 p.m. Eastern hour. There's two in the 2 p.m. Eastern hour. So a lot of early locks if you're doing that as well. So keep that on your radar. But let's get to the big notes from today. Connor Griffin will be called up by the Pittsburgh Pirates to make his MLB debut on Friday. And then he got an extension, a 9-year, $140 million. So big stuff here, Ryan. For those that drafted him, they didn't have to wait too long to get to utilize him.
Didn't have to wait too long. Gets the home opener. Maybe that was the plan all along. Congrats to Connor Griffin on the money, on the extension. A lot of teams doing that this season, really the last couple of years. So slides right in, everyday shortstop, right? And my initial reaction, of course, was draft and hold legend Nick Gonzalez, who's actually like somewhat doing something. I would think he does not do anything anymore. I would think he's the immediate bench in place of Connor Griffin.
Yes and no. You would think so. I'm not going to argue that because he very well could be. At the same time,
he's played three positions already this year. I don't know.
The primary shortstop's been Jared Triolo. So that could be the odd man out. Triolo's played shortstop for the last five of the last six games. So, like, there's a world where Nick Gonzalez keeps getting his reps, or him and Triolo split reps, maybe. I don't think it's just a complete Nick Gonzalez gone situation. Could be.
But even if it's a split, you don't want to split Nick Gonzalez. You barely want to fold Nick Gonzalez, honestly. Like, but
in a perfect world, Triolo goes back to a super utility role and just gives everybody a day off during the week. That's where we need to get back to.
Yeah.
But you'll just have to obviously see where it goes. All right, this one, buddy, if you need a moment, you need to light a candle or whatever, I don't know. You don't have many shares, though, so that's a plus. We talked about that on the shares episode. But Nick Lodolo left his rehab start after 40 pitches because he, got another blister, another one, or maybe reopened the previous one. Who knows what took place there. He was supposed to throw like 65 pitches and come back and start for the Reds next week. That obviously is not happening, so we'll have to keep an eye on this. But you're not dropping Nick Lodolo, at least until we hear like they're going to cut his finger off or something, which isn't happening. But this is a setback that's like, how long do they have to let him just let it heal for before he has to ramp up again is what I'm concerned about.
That's the thing. He's already not built up, and then now he's going to have to wait at least another week or two, I would think. He already paused for a week and a half with this first blister. I believe it's just a re-irritation of the same thing. And he's had blister problems before, like, when the first blister report came out for Lodolo, I immediately was very concerned. And the thing you don't want is to just make it worse, and he can't even get through an outing without it flaring back up. So, as Mr. Grouch says, super blister really sucks if you have Lodolo. I agree you can't drop him, but it's going to be, it's not only the time off for the blister to heal, it's the time off for the blister to heal. And then he's got to ramp all the way back up again. And so that's, I don't even want to put a timetable on it, but we're talking weeks.
Yes, it's not great. Like I said, you're not dropping Nick Lodolo just yet until we hear out more news. Like, I'd hope he's not gone for a long period of time, but they just have to shut him down to let it heal. There's really nothing else you can do right now.
Right, nothing you can do. So, I mean, you can urinate on it, but.
Yeah, but it's still got to heal, but it heals faster. Maybe you have super pee, I don't know. no idea. Maybe extra electrolytes in the system. I don't know. There's lots of. I'm not a doctor, but
No, you are not.
We'll contact Dr. Dave and ask how he best thinks we should get rid of these blisters.
Some Topo Chico on there. See what happens.
That gets rid of a lot of things, but probably creates more blisters than anything. That creates a lot of problems, is what that does. But yeah, we'll see if that alone. By the way, I did mention it on last Tuesday's episode. So we sit down in our seats, and the first thing that comes by is a beer vendor. First thing he pulls out of his tray in front of them was a Topo Chico tall boy, like literally three rows in front of me. And I'm like, no, thank God I was a designated driver. I was responsible. So nope, that did not happen.
Oh, at the game?
At the game last week.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the concert. I was like, what are you talking about?
No, right when we sat down at the game, it's like the first thing I see. First thing I see is like the drinking god saying, Bubba, not so fast. So yeah.
Bubba's special juice.
Something, but yeah, keep an eye on Lodolo. We'll wait for more news there. We'll keep you updated as usual. Zach Eflin, he left his recent start with an elbow injury. This is weird though. Like, he's on the IL, and they took an MRI the next day, which was, I believe, Tuesday or Wednesday now, and we still haven't heard the results. That concerns me, honestly. The fact that it has not come out yet. Albert Suarez got recalled. He got the three inning save on Wednesday. He's not the closer. Dean Kramer's supposed to come up next week and make a start for the Orioles. We'll see if that actually still happens. They're basically keeping their rotation as is. Dean Kramer's supposed to start on Friday in AAA. A lot of moving parts with Baltimore. I only bring it up because we talked about it on Tuesday a bit, but the fact we still haven't seen an MRI result yet, that makes me usually think it's not a great thing.
Right. I'm already in my head planning on cutting Zach Eflin and Fab this week, unless I don't know, unless we get some miracle news this weekend. But I don't think it didn't sound good. It still doesn't sound good. And is Zach Eflin good enough to hold, even though he looked really good in the first start until he got hurt? So, yeah, keep an eye on the Dean, because, I mean, a lot of sites, I think RotoWire and Fangraphs, have Dean Kremer for a two-step next week. I don't know if that will happen. Like you said, supposed to pitch Friday Triple A. So let's just see. If it is a two-step for Dean Kremer, it'd be at the White Sox against your Giants. That's good startable two-step in 15 teamers. But if it's just a one step, I'd probably just wait and see with Dean Kremer. So let's see what the news is over the weekend on him.
And the interesting thing could be is if it is a long-term thing, like Eflin's done for the year, do they give Cade Povich a chance? Do they give Trey Gipson, one of their top pitching prospects, a chance? Like, was Dean Kremer the Band-Aid and these are the big things? Like, there's, again, a lot of moving parts. That's why I say it's just weird we haven't got the news yet, and that's what I'm waiting for.
Yep.
All right, let's do it. Week 3, Fab preview. Please pull up the planner.
All right. Got some other folks in the planner this evening, some Patreon members. So this is, again, available to all
Oregon Ducks. Oh, it's not Ducks.
Yeah, we've got
I got fooled.
We've got an Oregon Duck logo. Oh, it's our buddy Kevin.
It's Kevin. I got fooled. I thought
we literally have Oregon Duck green. We literally have Oregon Duck green in the spreadsheet here. Nice little logo at the top there. But yeah, so weekly planner time. We're going to go through all 30 teams. Schedule for next week, there are a number of teams with 7 games. There's a lot of baseball. Yep. Most of the AL Central plays 7 games except for Cleveland. You've got the Miami Marlins 7 games, the Reds 7 games. That's split road than home, so it's not the nuts. Great American Small Park for 7, but you get 3 of them there. You've got 7 for the Rockies, 7 for the Padres. Rockies are split. They get 3 at home, 4 on the road. So no 5-game weeks. I feel like last year there were very few teams with 5-game weeks, and I hope that stays the case this season. Any other kind of park-related stuff? The A's are on the road. Is there something with Sacramento that you're aware of?
What I'm guessing what happened, because they got 3 this weekend at home.
Oh, they are at home this weekend.
So
they okay.
Then so I bet you the Rivercats get next week. That's how last it goes a week, because they have another ball. They have another AAA team playing there. So yeah, they actually have to share the place. Yeah. And I'm guessing that's what's going on.
Gotcha. So yeah, the A's are on the road all of next week, which they've been really bad outside of Langoliers. But those are the big ones. The other kind of park spots, we can't do Tampa as a park spot this year. If anything, it's reversed. So yeah, Rockies are split, Reds are split, A's are on the road all week. Again, they're in New York all week, at Yankees, at Mets.
Yeah, they get they're gonna probably you can probably see Langoliers, maybe Kurtz on MLB Network at some point in time. It's usually how that trip turns out. All right, let's go team by team here. Starting in the AL East as usual, the Baltimore Orioles 6 games next week, 3 at the Chicago White Sox, which is a tasty situation, and 3 at home versus the Giants, which they I think it's a mixed bag there on this one. No lefties, 6 righties for the Baltimore Orioles, so full lefty week, which. Righty week. They've faced pretty much all righties all season. So business as usual is what it's about to feel like.
And it's a really nice schedule. So that opposing, yeah, right, we've got on this on the weekly planner for those of you watching or who have access to it. It's a green 12% K to walk, strikeout minus walk rate for the pitchers. This is from last year. I'll flip these stats over to this year after a couple weeks into the season, but a 12% strikeout minus walk for the starting pitchers facing the Orioles. And that includes Logan Webb. So you take out Logan Webb. I mean, obviously they have to face him, but it's Fetty. It's Shane Smith, Sean Burke, Landon Roop, Adrian Hauser. Like, that's a really good schedule.
So I think Roop's pretty good. So I'm biased on that one, but still a very good schedule.
Yeah, it's a good schedule. Unfortunately, like, there's not too much to take advantage. I mean, the one name that I'm looking at and more just curious about is Dylan Beavers, to see how much he plays against an all-righty week. Beavers, I believe, was banged up or sick or something at the beginning of the season and missed a few starts. I want to see if Dylan Beavers is a regular against right-handed pitching. He could be a a decent pickup. Probably should have ownership up.
He's played four of the last five games, so
yeah,
he's played left field, right field, center. He's played all over the outfield, so he's kind of just flipping around, giving guys days off. But he's played four out of five, which is obviously a positive sign there.
So I would consider Dylan Beavers 36% owned in NFBC 12 teamers. So he's available. He's out there.
He is available. One thing I want to just bring up is not really an ad drop thing, but Adley Rutschman basically plays two games, day off, and he only catches on the days off. Basayo catches. Otherwise, Basayo's pretty much DHing every day. He's had one day off so far, just regular rest, it seems like. Maybe we'll see a trend that he gets a day off after his catching experience. Maybe that's a thing they're going to do. But Basayo's playing all the time. Again, we haven't seen lefty pitching. We won't see it this week. But I just wanted to mention that, like, Adley's going to get a couple of days off a week, it looks like, pretty much locked in, where Basayo's playing nearly every day, and that's already making me feel like I made a big mistake on that one.
Orioles are all righties this weekend, too, so they won't see a lefty forever.
So we have no idea on how that's actually going to play out just yet. But just early takeaways when looking at the way the lineups have been shaking out, that does stand out quite a bit. And the other thing that was interesting to me, again, I'm not like in love with it, but if you're in a deep league and you just want it, just because the matchup's so good, Jeremiah Jackson has played four out of the last five games all at second base. And he had his runs last year. He wasn't bad. Blaze Alexander looks like they're already kind of running out of patience with him. So it looks like Jeremiah Jackson might get some run while Jackson Holiday is out. And like I said, Jackson had some really good stretches there last year. Hit 276 with five homers. He's hitting 267 so far this year in 16 plate appearances. Like, he's not a world beater, but in your deeper leagues, in this like week of six really pretty good matchups, I wouldn't sleep on Jeremiah Jackson if he's going to keep getting like if we see over the weekend he plays even two out of three, that's a deep league target for me.
I like that. I won't insult you for that take.
Hey, we're off to a good start tonight. We have 29 more teams to screw
this up. Hey, but we got 29 more to go, so
I will guarantee you I screw this up sooner than
later.
Let's
see where the night takes us.
Yes.
Although I've already disparaged you and degraded you over your Dom Smith takes. He's already hit a grand slam and then homered tonight, too. So, exactly.
Now, we'll get to him later. Don't you worry.
I'm well aware. We will get to freaking Dom Smith.
Especially when our Discord, you know how they love to support Bubba and remind Ryan of things. So we're good there.
Yeah.
All right. Boston Red Sox, six games this week, three at home versus Milwaukee, three at the St. Louis Cardinals, all righties on tap for the Red Sox with a good weekend series against the Cardinals is what I'd say, because the start of the week might be a little trickier, but honestly, probably not too bad, but a little trickier.
I mean, the thing with the Red Sox is I don't know if there's any moves to make, right, in terms of Fab, because they don't really have many platoon guys. It looks like Willier's playing every day. They've only faced one lefty this season, but Willier Brady got that opening day start. So I don't know. I mean, I could sit here and say Yoshida or Marcelo Meyer, but like
it's Meyer if you want to take a chance on maybe him figuring it out. He's still getting the at bats, but yeah. He's 36% rostered in OCs. So he's worth a shot if you need that. Like, I'd honestly probably take Jeremiah Jackson for the matchups he has and figure it out later. But Meyer should have the job all year unless he really screws up. So kind of how you want to pencil that out.
Yeah, he's made some hard contact so far this year. A couple barrels already in 17 plate appearances Marcelo Meyer has. So I'd probably do Jackson ahead of Meyer for this week only. But if you want to take a cheap stab and hope for something bigger, I think long-term ceiling, of course, is Marcelo Meyer.
100% agreed. New York Yankees, six games this week, three at home versus the A's, three at the Tampa Bay Rays in the Trop. Two lefties, four righties. Each series looks like it's a lefty and two righties for your streaming purposes out there. What do you like with the Yankees? Their bats have been inconsistent, but still good enough. Like they're winning baseball games. They're playing well. Pitching's been dominant. That's a thing. I've mentioned it in the news. Luis Eel is set to return on April 11th. If you are into a stashing mode and you like Luis Eel, not saying you have to like Luis Eel. I'm not overly excited about Luis Eel, but he'll be returning to the rotation on the 11th. So keep that in mind.
That's really the one note that I had. I mean, the Yankees Eel is in the minors right now just because the Yankees don't need a fifth starter until the 11th. So he'll might be available in a ton of leagues. I'm also not a huge Luis Eel guy, like way over his head in 2024 with that 350 ERA. The estimators were more like low fours, had like a 15% K to walk percentage. League average is around 16. So you can do it in like a 15 teamer if you want to get one week ahead and add Luis Gil, but I wouldn't go crazy over him.
I'm just going to say, if Giancarlo can continue to open bags of chips for the rest of the season, he's going to be
dude,
a hell of a value.
I might have to get tennis elbow in my other arm just to perform like Giancarlo.
Dude, like, been awesome. I joked all preseason, like, his price is great, even if he only plays 80 games. But, like, dude, he's crushing baseballs. Like,
and he's only sat once.
Yeah, like, they're taking care of him.
Full-time DH.
It's glorious. Let's hope that continues. I'm already ready for the other shoe to drop there. But, yeah, we'll see how long it goes for. All right, we have the Tampa Bay Rays, 6 games, all at home with the Trop. It's their opener this week, or next week is their opener. That's right. That's their first week back in the Trop. 3 against the Cubs, 3 against the Yankees, 2 lefties, 4 righties. And, yeah, what do you got on Tampa Bay?
There's just, like, a lot of good and a lot of bad. Like, at the top of that line, Yandy Diaz, Aranda have been freaking awesome. Yep. But, dude, the back end of this, even the middle, Caminero hasn't been good, but obviously we'll be fine. But, like, Jake Fraley's been hitting third for the Rays. Cedric Mullins has done absolutely nothing. You've got Ben Williamson out there. Chandler Simpson is doing something, but hitting, you know, he's not available in Fab. Carson Williams looks overmatched. So I don't know, man. I think the biggest like Fab headline is actually on relievers with the Rays this week, but I don't know if you have anything on the hitters first.
No, I just give a hat tip to Chandler Simpson. He's playing better defense and he's hitting for great average and running. He's doing what he's supposed to do for now. So it's been a good first week for Chandler.
.476.
If he plays defense, which he's playing pretty well, apparently there's people that know more than me throwing charts out there that show he's actually, like, he's got one of the top WAR players in baseball for those WAR leagues we play in. But he's playing good. So right.
That means playing time. I mean,
yeah, 100%.
Chandler Simpson's WAR is actually very important.
Yeah, because the biggest reason I feel like we didn't like him is because we didn't think he'd keep the job.
Right.
And if he's doing what he's doing now, like, that could be pretty sweet when it's all said and done. Other thing I'll mention before I let you talk relievers, Joe Boyle's final start should be Friday because Ryan Pepiot should be back next week. So keep that in mind. Now it's not official. Maybe they put Nick Martinez into the bullpen. Maybe
right.
They make the match, because I did see something with Boyle, because since I've been a Boyle fan, and I've understood, you told me like another half is he needs more pitches, 2 pitches. He's throwing 5 pitches right now.
For strikes.
And yes. So it's like the Rays are working their voodoo magic. It took a year, but here we are. And he's better than Nick Martinez. So hopefully they see that and put Nick Martinez into the bullpen. And that means he stays. But just keep that in mind. Like, the original plan, this was it for Boyle. Still subject to change. Just wanted to bring that up. More importantly, Pepiot should be back next week.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah, wouldn't immediately write off Boyle. Let's see what the next start looks like. Let's see what Nick Martinez's next start. And hell, Steven Matz probably hit the IL by the time Pepiot's back. So who knows? But yeah, I did want to bring up closers. Just like, what do we do with Griffin Jacks, man? Like, not only did he appear in the 6th inning, I believe, on opening day, he's only thrown 2 innings this year and has looked horrendous. I think you got to hold him. Well, you do have to hold him. But, like, man, I don't know if you can start Griffin Jacks right now because, A, he's not pitching well, and, B, we don't even know. I mean, Kevin Kelly got their latest save. I don't even know who Kevin Kelly is, but he got their most recent save on Monday. And it's just there are other options, and it seems like the Rays are ringing at this point.
Yeah, I hold strong with Jacks. His last start I mentioned in the Discord, the defense completely hosed him. On that okay. one, like, there was some massive, obviously things can be subject to change, but he's got a 400 BABIP in a small sample size. That's going to have to regress. He has a minus 17.9% left on base, a minus 7.1% K to walk. These things are not Griffin Jacks. Like, now if he's hurt, so be it. I still think he's a very good pitcher, and he did the same exact thing to start last season, and he finished the season just fine.
Yeah.
Now it doesn't mean he's going to get saves, to your question. I just don't think Brian Baker's anything that special. Garrett Clevenger's had his up and downs. They basically used all these guys, Baker, Clevenger, Jackson, Kelly, anywhere it feels like between the 6th and 9th inning. Yeah. They've rotated them around. So I'm sticking with Jacks. At the same time, it's like, who would you go with? Because I don't trust any of the other ones.
No, I don't. This is more just like, what do you do with Jax? Like, do you start him? Do you just bench him? So much depends on what other options you have. Velocity looks normal for Griffin Jax. So again, I would hope this is not injury related. How do you have a negative 17% left on base? That makes no sense.
Scores. And he probably inherits runners, is my guess. Like, he's been thrown in some pretty rough situations. If you're like,
I've never seen that before. A negative left on base rate.
Like, he's supposed to be really good. He's supposed to get out. So I'm not trying to like say he, you know, shouldn't have gotten out of these problems, but the defense has not helped him. And it's like, even if his 400 BABIP reserves is like a low 300s, that changes a lot for what has taken place so far.
Yeah.
So I'm still going to hold strong because I just don't think the other guys are that great. Like, Clevinger had some good optimism. Baker has been, I don't think any of them are real closers, to be honest. So,
yep. Agreed.
If anything, honestly, if Yoseta's out there, stash, that's where I would go. He's supposed to be back by the end of April. Like, if you can stash a guy, Edwin Yoseta's a dude I wouldn't be opposed to stashing right about now. And you're he's 39% rostered in OCs. Last I saw, he's supposed to be back in late April. So, and the way these guys are pitching, I think he'll get a shot.
So. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Good call.
But yeah, it's ugly, and we got some more ugly situations to talk about now. Not with this team, but down the road here. Toronto Blue Jays, they have 6 games this week, all at home. 3 versus the Dodgers, 3 versus Minnesota. Toronto's getting a lot of early home games, which is, I guess, good for them. 1 lefty and 5 righties this week for the Jays. Tough matchups, I'll be really honest, because you're like, even Bradley looks a lot better than those numbers are showing since last year's numbers. So not the easiest to schedule for Toronto.
Right. Robleski's pretty good. Yamamoto, obviously. Otani, it's tough. Joe Ryan
good?
Later.
Is Otani good? No idea.
Yeah, he's really great on my bench.
Yeah. Well, you got an SP only Otani and he's on your bench. That's awesome.
Yep. I'm an idiot. So there we go. I've got Jesus Sanchez as a target. Not only is he started against a lefty most recent game and is hitting second against righties. So this is a great week for Jesus Sanchez. I've always liked Jesus Sanchez. Yes, it's tough matchups, but it's still 5 righties. So I think you are going to get a lot of plate appearances from Jesus Sanchez. He's off to a great start. Already 2 barrels, just 2 strikeouts and 20 plate appearances for Jesus Sanchez. So I like that play quite a bit. He may be widely rostered. No, he's only 28% in 12 teamers. So I would stream Jesus Sanchez this week. I like him.
Yeah, I like that. And if anything, he's one of those that even if he doesn't do much this week, you're going to get viability out of him in the future, especially if he's playing versus lefties. Something just to monitor. I'm not saying drop him right now, but I don't know if you're going to start him. Is Addison Bargeri sat versus both lefties. He even got a day off versus a righty. He's on the hardcore struggle bus. It's early, but he needs to figure it out soon. Otherwise, things might change around some more in that team. Or at least for your fantasy team, he's not going to help you at all. So keep an eye on Barger. Like, it was a great story last year, but there were concerns coming into the season. And there should still be more concerns with what's going on there.
Pitching side, we talked about Eric Lauer last show, but he's only 55% owned in NFBC 12 teamers.
Pick him up.
He gets the lowly Minnesota Twins for his start next week, and then at the Brewers after that. It's a little tougher, but Eric Lauer is pretty good pitcher. So go there. I have no idea who the Jays' 5th starter is. with Ponce out, like. They haven't
called anybody up yet to actually officially take a spot. They called Lazaro Estrada up. Like, people are, like, even Roster Resource has him as the long man. He was a primary starter in the minors the last couple of years. Like, so he's got starting skills. In his first AAA outing, that was the bullpen. That was the problem. Like, 2 2/3. How stretched out is he, I guess, is the question. Like, in spring training, he made 6 appearances in spring. He threw 11 1/3 innings. So it's not like he was lengthened out, so that's hard to believe he's the guy. Trey Savage isn't ready yet.
Barrios may be the first one back before Bieber or Savage.
No, your Savage is ready before Barrios, and then it goes to Bieber after. Like, they're both. Barrios just started throwing to live hitters this week, so he's got some time. It feels like it could be a I think Tiedemann's still hurt, but maybe not. Like, I'm hoping a name that was mentioned, I think it was Ben Tidd that mentioned it with Yariel Rodriguez. Can we get some Yariel Rodriguez back in our life?
We don't need that, man.
I'd be
interested. Guy's terrible.
Oh, you bite your tongue. He's got no blisters right now, so let's just not worry about it.
Yariel Rodriguez? Yeah. He'd go like 4 1/3 and then have a back injury and leave.
That's more than they have right now. So that's what they yes. need at this point in time. Jesus. Yeah, that like they have nothing. It's going to be a bullpen game more likely than anything. And in that case, yeah. So Eric Lauer. Go get Eric Lauer. Moral of the story.
Yeah.
All right, Chicago White Sox, they're the first seven-gamer we'll talk about this week. 3 at home versus Baltimore, 4 at the Kansas City Royals with those new and improved fences. 4 lefties and 3 righties, because when you face Kansas City, you face 3 lefties with Bubich, Cameron, and Reagans. Like, they get murderer's row right. in Kansas City. It's a tough week. Tough week. You Kramer's, Rogers, Bradish, like, not a whole lot of Chicago White Sox love, unfortunately.
Right. Like, the White Sox haven't faced a lefty yet. And, like, so it's weird. Lenin Sosa has barely been playing. He's only made 2 starts. So I would think Lenin Sosa starts against lefties, maybe just a short side platoon. But to your point, given how brutal the schedule is, this is kind of like a waste of a 7-game week because it's split lefty righty with the 4 lefties, 3 righties. And I don't know. We just don't know how the White Sox are handling their lineup against lefties. So I can't really make a strong recommendation for really anybody. I other than like, you know, I love Austin Hayes. I think he'll play against against lefties and most of the time against righties. So that's a decent play. But outside of that, I don't know, man.
The deep league play, I'm going to go with Everson Pereira after digging in on the bat speed stuff last night. I actually looked at his profile. 25 years old, 21 homers in 2025 in the minors with 9 steals. He had 18 and 11 in 2023, 14 and 21 in 2022. Hits for average. He's already got a home run this year hitting 250. Strikeout rate's high this year, which is not great. But it was much lower in the minors and even in spring training where he had 2 home runs this year. And he actually plays every day. And he's right-handed, so that's not going to affect anything. Again, I don't love the matchups this week, but if you're looking for a deeper league outfielder, he's widely available in all formats. Everson Pereira is a guy. At least put him on your watch list to see where things go, because if he keeps playing, this is a former like big prospect for the Yankees. He came over in a trade, so I could see him maybe producing at some point in time. At least he intrigues me slightly. More so than Benintendi. He's playing more than Benintendi. Benintendi's a freaking joke right now. So,
Benintendi's played all but 1 game.
He shouldn't though. Like, it's bad.
Well, and he won't next week. Like, Andrew Benintendi, I've got him on some fab teams, and I'm probably dropping him.
Yeah, I had him on my drop list in a couple leagues last week, so I was not afraid to make that transaction. Like we talked about it in the Discord, it's like, yeah, Benny's great. Benny's a guy that I'll probably try to add 4 or 5 times this year, but he's more of a streamer than a player for me.
Yeah,
you need to rotate him in and out of the lineup. Cleveland Guardians, they have 6 games this week. 3 at home versus Kansas City, 3 at the Atlanta Braves. 4 lefties and 2 righties for Cleveland. So another, you get the Kansas City 2 lefties there, and then he gets 2 more with Atlanta. So a lot of lefties for the Guardians this week.
Yeah, I think it could be a good week for Rhys Hoskins. I think that's the move.
Rhys's pieces.
I think Rhys's pieces, we talked about him on the Tuesday show, I think. Yeah, with the highest exit velocity, hardest hit ball this year already versus the last 3 seasons combined, already playing kind of half the time against righties, and I assume would play a bunch against 4 lefties this week. Not a good week to, I don't even know how widely rostered, this is more of a 15 teamer, but like Kyle Manzardo is off to a terrible start and will not get many plate appearances in a lefty heavy week. So, and if you have Bo Naylor starting, it might be a similar type deal. You may want to stream another catcher or something if you can stomach 3 of them. And then we also talked about Angel Martinez on the Tuesday show. Right. So I will bring him up again on the Fab show, hitting 9th, but playing, well, hitting 2nd sometimes as well. So starting to get regular playing time and is the highest exit velocity riser this season versus the last 3 years in terms of single ball hit. So Angel Martinez, decent pickup as well as Rhys Hoskins.
Yep, very good pickup there, especially with he had a monster spring. So hopefully it's a sign of things to come for Angel Martinez. Detroit Tigers, 7 games this week, 4 at the Twins, which is not too shabby. 3 at home versus Miami, not too shabby. All right-handed pitchers for Detroit. Yeah. So, man alive, these are things you love to see. Problem is most of them are rostered. But what do you have for us here?
Most rostered, like, yeah, certainly Virginia Tech legend Kerry Carpenter. He's 100% rostered, 90% started. This is the ultimate Kerry Carpenter week. To a lesser extent, Colt Keith, you can go there. He's pretty much leading off against righties, so you like that. And then I'm still not giving up on Parker Meadows.
I was waiting for that.
Maybe I should. I'm stubborn. But you're going to get seven games and seven righties for Parker Meadows. And I think that's at least something to, you know, if it's someone you really liked heading into last season, he was a popular this year's Jaren Duran type of play. But if you liked Parker Meadows a year ago, I think just given the price, he's pretty widely available in 12s. I think you could take a shot there if you need an outfielder.
Yeah, no, that's where it gets interesting. Like, I'd probably rather take a Everson Pereira or even an Angel Martinez over him.
Yeah.
But I get your point. He's playing seven righties this week. It's kind of now or never. So exactly. It does make sense a bit there. All righty, let's get to the Kansas City Royals. Seven games this week, three at Cleveland, four at home versus the White Sox. Two lefties and five righties. The two lefties come from the Cleveland Guardians side of things here. Or no, technically K is with Chicago. So one for each, but the weekend it's all three righties for the Royals if you play that game. What do you like with Kansas City? Their offense has been very hot and cold game to game right now.
Yeah, hot and cold. Just real quick back on Cleveland. Forrest in the chat asked if Chase DeLauder, Chase the Great, as you like to call him, is coming back this week as you're going to rest his leg foot. Supposed to be back on Friday. So
yep,
should be good there, Forrest. Yep.
Curious how the whole facing lefties things goes, but yeah, he's supposed to be back Friday.
Yeah.
Kansas City Royals, hopefully get Carter Jensen a new alarm clock, but other than that.
Dude, yeah, like, so I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't read into it too much, but like, that's not great, man.
No.
And he's off to a terrible start. Like, I don't know. He struck out in 8 of his 18 plate appearances, and then you've got today's alarm clock incident. I mean, the game wasn't like, it wasn't like an 8 a.m. game.
No, it was a day game, but
what are we doing? I don't know. I just, maybe he just did sleep through his alarm, but it's not a great start to the season for Carter Jensen. It is a great start to the season for Kyle Isbell. We had a question in the chat about Kyle Isbell. If we should pick him up.
I've always been a Kyle Isbell fan.
He's never done anything.
He's a DC Wonder Man because he plays enough. You get him at like pick 600.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Beautiful in 15s.
He's
and
not
right
really
now he's playing well.
Dude, ride him while he's my hot. Man had four homers and four steals and 400 plate appearances last year. Okay.
Look at the matchups next week, especially over the weekend. Why would you not stream that compared to the other guys we've talked about?
He is hot. He's hitting .571, two homers, three steals right now. So maybe
like, we're not talking about you have to like give your firstborn for him, but like streaming him for a buck or two.
Yeah. No, I guess I'd take him over Meadows and
yeah.
What about Angel Martinez?
I'd take him over Angel Martinez based on the matchups right. alone, yes. Right. Like if I'm playing a streamer, I'm playing straight matchups.
It is really good matchups. 11.6% strikeout minus walk for the pitchers facing the Royals next week. So I'll give you that.
And you could drop him next Sunday. Like it's I'm not saying keep him for the season. This is strictly a churn and burn for a buck or two. And if you don't get him, screw it. But and he's probably not even a 12-team play. It's just strictly 15s at that point. There'd better be better options than 12. But those matchups are like Davis Martin, Eric Fede, and Shane Smith over the weekend. That's pretty sweet. That's hard to bypass right there.
Yeah.
I think that's all I have for Kansas City. Lucas Irsegg is closing if you missed that memo.
Right. I was going to bring him up, but I think was widely picked up last week, but I mean, the news since last week was Estevez is now officially on the IL. So, Irsegg will have some run.
I guess, wow. Noah Cameron's 93% roster. I was going to make you make a decision there, but we don't have to.
He's off to a really good start.
Yeah, looks good. He actually got strikeouts in his first start.
So I know.
Where'd that guy come from?
Surprised I didn't get a text about that.
I'm not an a-hole all the time. Like, I pick my shots. But trust me, if he does it twice in a row, no, just kidding. Minnesota Twins, 7 games this week, 4 at home versus Detroit, 3 at the Toronto Blue Jays, 3 lefties and 4 righties for a Twins offense that is absolutely putrid, almost to the point where I'm like, screw what pickups to make for them. What pitcher should we start against them?
Yeah, it's a tough scene. I mean, even Cole Reagan's pitched well against him today. So, you know, that's pretty telling in and of itself.
Shots fired.
One notable is, and he may be, well, Matt Wallner. Yeah, he's 92%. He's playing against lefties and hitting lefties. Yeah.
I had him benched this week for the first half of the week because they faced 3 lefties. So that was awesome to see. Him and O'Neill Cruz facing lefties. What the heck?
Yeah, what's going on?
Trevor Larnach sat, though. Keep that in mind. That happened.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think he might be donezo in terms of fantasy utility, at least for now. But, yeah, I was just going to shout out Matt Wallner. Nice to see Josh Bell get off the home run schneid, homer today. But I don't have much – I don't have anything else on the – I wanted to bring up Cole Sands. Appeared in the 8th inning today after being the most popular Fab ad, surprisingly to me. And I know you and Ben as well. It's like, what? Appeared in the 8th of a pretty much straight save situation. So could be mixing and matching in Minnesota.
Yep. Even though Baldelli's out of town, the ideas might stay.
His ghost remains.
So Cole Sands, Taylor Rogers, even Justin Topa might be in the mix somewhere along the line. Just pretend that you think you know what you know. And that's why that's the worst thing is Sands gets the save on Saturday. Seems like he's the dude.
Yep.
They haven't had a save chance since. And it's like now we kind of see this on Thursday and it blows up in our face. Sands could still get saves over the weekend. But, yeah, I was surprised by the money. And just don't be surprised if he's not the full-time guy because it feels like there's not a lot of full-time guys, period, these days. AL West, the Sacramento Athletics, we mentioned earlier, 6 on the road, 3 in the Bronx, 3 in Queens, the Yankees, and then the Mets, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the struggling Sacramento Athletics, Ryan.
Dude, struggling is putting it nicely. By far the worst offense in baseball. I think a 52 WRC plus, league average is 100. 52 is abominable. And that's with Shea Langeliers, who I think leads the majors in homers.
Nobody, 5 home runs, 5 dongs for Bangaliers.
That which means absolutely nobody else is doing anything.
Boy, he has like 6 RBIs with those 5 home runs, just off the top of my head.
It's crazy. So, yeah, like, I mean, for the good A's, you just ride it out, right? You ride it out for Nick Kurtz. You ride it out for Soderstrom, for Brent Rooker, for Jacob Wilson. As I go down the lineup, do we ride it out for the Law Dog? You may want to probably still roll him out there, but Max Muncy hasn't been great. McNeil, Denzel Clark striking out half the time. Like, it's brutal.
A couple of things. McNeil is sitting versus lefties, so that has a platoon with Andy Ibañez, of all people, and some Daryl Hernández thrown in the mix. By the way, Zach Gelof crushing AAA to start the season.
I saw that. Yeah, he's trying to pull you back in.
Oh, he's trying to get me back. I've always been a Gelof believer, but to my detriment. I'm just going to throw out the Law Dog as just be very cautious right now. I don't know if the knee's still hurting or what's going on. But he's sat 3 of the last 6. He's been in it's almost like 2 games in, 2 games out so far.
Yeah.
He's playing right field and center field. So Brent Rooker has played in the outfield twice now versus lefties. He's 1 DH, 2 right field. So Rooker, he's playing right field more often than Law Dog is right now. So I wrote about that in PT tomorrow. It stood out in a big way because Carlos Cortez was getting the right field at bats versus righties when Butler sat. Rooker's getting the at bats versus lefties, if that makes sense to anybody. Butler's more just filling in right now. Just keep that in mind. I'm not saying he's done, but he's not automatic at all right now. Other than that, I got nothing for you except Mark Leiter. Like the first actual, let's get to the closing situation with Sterner, Barlow, Harris. Leiter went in order. I was already pretty much out on Sterner after a week's worth of usage is all like 6th and 7th innings. Now I still think he's the best of the bunch. And what I was worried about all preseason is Leiter's the experienced arm and they're going to go his direction. Harris being the only lefty was going to limit him being the full-time guy. I think he still gets some saves. I still think it's a lot of committee usage, but it looks like Leiter might have the upper hand here. Again, don't break the bank.
No, I even cut Leiter last week, which in Fab, which is great. But yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, this could be like another Cole Sands type situation. I don't think Leiter would go for as much as Sands unless he gets another save this weekend or something. But it could just be this is the first save and it's still a committee. We just don't know. But I mean, if it's Leiter primarily, that's he's got two of the last four seasons with two of the last three seasons, if you don't count this year, with basically a 20% strikeout minus walk rate. Didn't have a great year with the Yankees, but he's got at least has a history of decent skills. But I still think it's a committee right now. But let's see what happens over the weekend if the A's can actually score runs and get a save opportunity.
Agreed. Houston Astros, they have six games this week, all on the road. Three in Coors to start the week, three at Seattle, one lefty and five righties for Houston. Jeremy Peña still isn't playing back-to-back games. They expect that to change this weekend. Monitor that. It's not like you're getting rid of him, but just know it does hamper things for you. But hopefully he plays all, because they're in Sacramento this weekend, so hopefully he plays every day. But yes, what do you got on Houston?
So you obviously like the Coors stream. The thing with Houston is just like, I mean, they're on fire right now, but a lot of their guys, you're just playing them and they're pretty widely rostered. Cam Smith's off to a decent start. So that Colorado Coors versus Feltner, Freeland and Lorenzen is just, that's what dreams are made of, my friend.
Yep. Joey Loperfido.
Joey Loperfido is probably the only one who is like widely available. I wouldn't even go for Jake Myers right now, but Loperfido has only played two games because the Astros have only faced two righties all season. But Joey Loperfido could be a decent streamer, at least for the first half. I mean, it gets tougher at Seattle, Hancock, Castillo, and Logan Gilbert next weekend. So,
For that Coors series, that could definitely be nice.
Yep. I was going to go straight to Lance McCullers if you're good with that. I mean,
yeah, fine. I don't trust it still, but yes, go for it.
I don't trust it, but like,
he was awesome.
I had no idea. 2% owned, and so he's basically unowned in NFBC 12 teamers. He was awesome. I released the 2026 version of the live Bloom boards to our Patreon subs yesterday. Through one start again, Lance McCullers has the best skills of any player rostered in less than 50% of NFBC 12 teamers, and also completely flipped his pitch mix. So this is a different McCullers. It looks like now, can this different McCullers stay healthy? Probably not. But if you can get a month or two out of this, he's not going to be as good as he was in the first start every start. But I think this is your top starting pitcher ad this week.
He's very much there. I'll also toss in Spencer Arrighetti is another guy to stash because the Astros did say they're going to go to a six-man rotation in the next week or two, like once they kind of get more of a full schedule going on. So Arrighetti, he pitched in AAA. He's supposed to be the guy. He's supposed to be the guy to make that sixth spot. So keep him on your radar. I'll also bring up everyone is running to get Brian King after Abreu didn't get the save on Sunday. Well, Abreu
then got
the save on Wednesday.
And the velocity was back.
Yeah. And so I still think Abreu's the guy. But again, this is where you can play the go get Brian King for a buck situation in case anything does happen. Because I don't think Hader's coming back anytime soon. So
the update this week is Hader still not facing live hitters. So like,
but we knew he wasn't going to until the mid-April. That was what they've always said. So that update felt like more of a no shit, Sherlock, situation. I just feel like I still don't think he's that close to begin with. And if Abreu does struggle again, I think at least the Astros have shown their hand that King's the guy. I think Blue Ball's not bad, though. I wrote about him for PT tomorrow. Like last year, he switched to the bullpen. Stuff changed tremendously because we talked about him a lot as a starter last year. When he went to the bullpen, stuff changed a lot. And early in between spring and the start of this season, Blue Ball's a different pitcher in the bullpen. And I think he could, have a shot there as well. If, King seems like the guy for now, but I wouldn't sleep on Blue Ball either.
Skinny legs.
Very skinny legs. I feel like twigs, one might say. But that's my Houston Astros. Do you have anything else on them?
No, you covered it good. Covered it well, I should say.
Angels, six games this week. Three at home versus Atlanta, three at the Reds. So they get Great American Small Park for three. It's two lefties, four righties over the weekend. It's one lefty, two righties in Cincinnati, it's Louder, Burns, and to be determined, as Lodolo will not be in that spot, which I believe is, it's a great question who that's going to be. So what do you got here for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim?
Honestly, I don't think I have anything.
Yeah, there's nothing that's appealing. If it is, it's take, like, if you want to go on Moncada, that's fine. Nolan Chenwal, yeah, I'll throw out again. I think he's pretty widely
rostered. He's wide, but, yeah, you know, he was picked up
84% now, so he's gotten picked up. But his approach at the plate, the changes he's made actually seem legit for now. So Chenwal would be a guy, if he's sitting around there, go grab him. But yeah, most of the guys are taken in Anaheim at this point in time. Pitching wise, they're pretty much taken. Yeah, I got nothing. Jordan Romano got taken everywhere, so I'm with you on that.
Your boy Ryan Johnson got blown up.
That was a rough game weather wise in Chicago. Let's see how this weekend goes.
Just hearing excuses. It's all right. Yeah,
it's happened to the best of them. Hey, how about Jose Soriano's first two starts?
Pretty sweet.
Pretty nice, because that'll blow up eventually, so enjoy it while we can. Seattle Mariners, they have six games, three at Texas, three at home versus Houston, one lefty and five righties, and my goodness, that Texas stretch is not great, and Houston's not that great either. Like, that's a rough week coming up for Seattle.
Yeah, big week, especially in division for the Mariners. But yeah, DeGrom, Evaldi, Mackenzie Gore, and then Imai, who didn't pitch well in his debut, but then the previously mentioned McCullers, and then Hunter Brown. Like, that is tough. So streaming wise, like, yeah, it's a bunch of righties, so you could do a Luke Raley, you could do a Dom Canzone, but it's really hard matchups. JP Crawford's back from the IL. I believe he's going to make his season debut on Friday. We know who JP Crawford is from a fantasy aspect, so don't need to really go there. I guess I'll bring up Colt Emerson. I think, well, we have a listener question on Emerson. Still think he's a little ways away. Sign the extension, but it doesn't sound like the Mariners are going to rush. It's not like a Connor Griffin where he's up because they signed the extension. They're going to take their time and actually develop Emerson. I still think he'll be up this year. I don't think it's like imminent.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's Luke Raley is a guy to pick up a little over 30% in 12s. He'll sit versus lefties but play versus righties. And then Cole Young playing every single day at second
base. He's looked good.
He's shown some adjustment. Soft to a 320 star with a home run. Strikeout rate still pretty high in the small sample, but like what we're seeing, 22 years old, got his first cup of coffee last year, former first-round pick. Like, there's a lot to like, I think, about Cole Young. Digging in this offseason, I turned a new leaf on him quite a bit. So, he's still only 32% rostered in 12s, and he's a guy I could see you wanting to play over a lot of other middle infield / second base options the rest of the season. So I'd get on him now, personally. Like, I dropped Brooks Lee. I'd have him over Brooks Lee in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I think Cole Young needs to be added in a lot of places.
Agreed.
Oof. I think that's all we got, though, for Seattle. Starting pitching as usual, Andrés Muñoz, he ain't going nowhere. Texas Rangers, six games, three at home versus Seattle, three at the Dodgers. So they have a tricky week as well.
It's a brutal week, too. Jeez.
All righties for the Texas Rangers, which doesn't really do much. Like, I'm not doing the Jock Peterson thing anymore, so no. I really don't have much. I don't have much with them.
I did the Jock Peterson this week in my Vegas auction.
Oof.
Not great.
Rolled the dice and came up seven.
He'll be on the bench this weekend and on waivers on Sunday night. So yeah, can't recommend Jock Peterson really. Maybe Josh Smith, but again, this is just real. It's Gilbert Wu, George Kirby, Emmett Sheehan, Glasnow, and Sasaki. So / bullpen on that one. But I don't really have. I can't really recommend any kind of fab pickups for Texas this week.
The only one I would say is if you want to try to get sneak through a cheap Kumar Rocker, if you're believing in the changes, it's at the Dodgers next week, okay, which isn't great. But Dodgers offense hasn't clicked yet. So
no,
The following week is at Sacramento, which is not great. But it's more like a long-term play if you want to try to sneak through a cheap Kumar Rocker, because he has made the pitch mix change. We're seeing some positives there. And if it's one of those weeks where there's not a lot of pitching to target, sneaking through guys cheap is kind of a thing you can look to do right now.
Last thing with the Rangers, Chris Martin versus Robert Garcia. Still can't really figure that one out. They've kind of gone back and forth with those two guys. So I don't know.
All the manager said that's what he planned on doing. So far, so honest on that one. So that could be a thing all season. All right, let's head to the National League. The Atlanta Braves, 6 games this week, 3 at the Angels, 3 at home versus Cleveland, 3 lefties and 3 righties. Start of the week is 2 lefties, 1 righty versus the Angels. Cleveland is 1 lefty, 2 righties if you're playing the bi-weekly moves situation. But this kind of hurts your Yastrzemskis, that the great almighty Dom Smith, who is hitting .375 with 2 home runs, 6 runs scored, 5 RBIs.
It's just unbelievable, man.
17% of the time. Sorry, I'm still talking. 11% walk rate so far this year, and a 10% barrel rate with a 50% hard hit rate. So, yes, Dom Smith, like, I still don't mind him for the weekend series, but it's tough. Sorry, what were you saying?
Were you going to go into hometown, personal life, or are you just going to stop at the stats, or what are we doing?
I don't know. Anything I could mention with Dom Smith just to kind of have some fun with him.
Jesus, I bagged the guy and he has the week of his life, which pretty much is a regular occurrence.
I was about to say, we should know to make sure to put stars next to those names when that
even
happens.
Even the guy right below Dom Smith, Mauricio Dubon, who tonight. I used to hammer, he homered tonight.
Yep. See, I don't mention all this stuff. I keep certain things quiet.
There's too much to mention. Show would be 3 hours long.
I can't bury you all the time.
God, I'm with you, Forrest. Bubba can't be touting Dom Smith in 2026. But hey, if you started Dom Smith, you're happy right now. I'm with
you. Hate to break it to you, Forrest. Appreciate you listening. I touted him last year and can't stop, won't stop in these parts. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, man.
See? Mitch says it would be weird if Bubba wasn't touting Dom Smith in 2026. Exactly.
All right, welcome to the show. Another one of your guys who I've bagged, Bryce Elder. I was going to bring him up.
Filthy.
Look pretty good and gets it's Cleveland next week for that start. So I think you
it's not
you
bad.
That.
It's
what's,
bad.
What's Bryce Elder in 12s? 4% started. So, oh, God.
This is great. Loving everything about this.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
No, we can go to the Marlins where Jacob Marcy's struggling. He was my favorite hitter pick.
All right, Jesus. Miami Marlins. They have 7 games this week, 4 at home versus Cincinnati and 3 at Detroit, 4 lefties, 3 righties. That Cincinnati series at home, well, it won't be. It'll be probably 2 lefties, 2 righties because Lodolo's gone. Lodolo had a great two-step this week. My God. But it'll probably be 3 lefties, 4 righties unless they make a weird pitching change for Miami, which still makes things difficult unless you like Liam Hicks and you just say, screw it, we're playing him everywhere.
Yeah, so and Liam Hicks is having a week. Good hell. Enough to the point where I guess the Goose, they're pretty much half and half between catcher
Goose
and DH.
It's all so good.
We're good there, although Goose is pretty rough, but I'm not worried. Did mention my favorite player, Jacob Marcy, struggling big time. I will bring up Owen Casey. I know you and Martin Sokolsky talked about Owen Casey on Bench with Bubba earlier today, and get with these prospects, with these rookies, young guys. I generally go with what Martin says and agree. Like a hot streak, but there will be hot and cold with Owen Casey. And we don't really know if he's going to play against lefties. Time will tell this week. Yep. So kind of a tricky start for next week, Owen Casey, but someone who's looked really good in a tiny sample so far and is just not even 24 years old yet.
Yep, agreed. It has been really nice to see how he has been doing. Liam Hicks, I would not be if he's gonna sit versus lefties, it looks like, though, so just keep that in mind. But at least for the weekend, could be a play if you're looking for a catcher too. He's an option right now, so keep him on your radar. Other than that, pitching wise, are you a Jansen Junk fan yet? Because I'm not, but it wasn't horrible.
He looked really good in his in his first start.
He's got
gets
a
two-step against at home against the Reds and then at Detroit. The at Detroit, I think, it's not against Skubal. So I think I might throw a Jansen Junk out there and see what happens. His stuff looked really good in his first start. The other pitching thing I can't recommend stashing him yet, at least in NFBC formats, but Robbie Snelling. Like, dude, they cannot have the sheriff. You cannot have Chris Paddock in this rotation. You just can't. What do you give up? 8 runs his first start?
Yep.
He goes to Yankee Stadium on Sunday. Like that, I don't know. I don't see that arrangement working out in the long term.
It shouldn't, but I just think back to last year how often we said that about Max Meyer, who just sat there in AAA for no apparent reason whatsoever.
I know. That's why I can't recommend the stash. It's more just like, what are we doing?
It's like our weekly Kyle Harrison from last year. Like, why is he not pitching? Probably Snelling's even better than that. Like, why is he not pitching?
Right.
So, yeah, fully endorse. I understand where you're going with that one. New York Mets, they have 6 games this week, 3 all at home. 3 versus the D-backs, 3 versus the A's, 2 lefties, 4 righties. Mets team that needs to wake up offensively. That's the best way I'll put it. Brett Beatty sitting versus lefties. That's being established right now. So is Carson Bench.
Yep.
That's another one to keep in mind. But what do you got for us with the Metropolitans?
I was just going to call those guys out as streamers. The other one that, again, on the infamous Vegas auction team that can't hit, Marcus Semien is just...
Yeah, I got a lot of Semien too.
Ooh, he's teetering on... He's hitting 100. Teetering on Gene Segura territory. Like, I don't want to start him next week.
Real quick, pick Cole Young up and drop Marcus Semien? No. I think I might.
That's an overreaction, I think. I wouldn't do it.
Is it, though?
I think so.
Even if he does his last year, 230, 15 homers, and 11, he's striking out 32%. Right now.
Yeah.
I know it's
and early. But there is a chance, and I said this about Semien entering the season, like there is a chance that this aging curve goes down, and as Forrest says in the chat, he is completely cooked. Like there is a chance of that happening. That's why I want to aggressively go out and look for second baseman to play for him, but I'm not ready to cut Semien quite yet.
Like his bat speed is down from the last 2 seasons. Like I'm just looking at different things that could be elderly slash.
I hear you.
Sucks. So I'm just trying to fly ball rate is 61.5. I'm just digging in on.
I have
plenty of shares.
That stuff yet.
No, I have plenty of shares. I'm trying to just like look at trying to find a positive. I can't find one right now.
The bat speed's not great. That being down and him being old and. Yeah, things are not looking good for Marcus. I just want to throw like if you're, I don't think he's a cut. Maybe in 12 teamers you can drop, but like I want to warn folks that you may have someone in your lineup who's Gene Segura-ing, aka doing absolutely nothing but playing every day.
Yep, Marcus Semien is definitely doing that. I have nothing else with the Mets except for the fact that Devin Williams looks damn good.
Yeah, he does. Agreed.
You're early on that one.
Yep.
All right. Philadelphia Phillies. They have 6 games, 3 at the Giants, 3 at home versus Arizona, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the fighting Phils. What interests you this week?
I mean, this will be one of the more boring teams that we will cover all year if they stay healthy because they run out basically the same lineup every day with Bryson Stott and Brandon Marsh platooning and not playing against lefties. So outside of that, I got nothing. I mean, Stott and Marsh are good starts this week and against a good schedule against 5 righties. So you like that. But outside of that, it's nice to see Justin Crawford. I know he's widely owned, but he's at least holding his own in the first kind of go around against MLB pitching. It's a 22% K rate league average there. It's a 7.5% swinging strike, which is better than league average. And he's hitting 400, hasn't stolen a base yet, but had a walk off. I think, earlier this week or last week or something.
2 days ago. Yes, on Wednesday.
Doesn't look like he's overmatched quite yet, at least. That's good.
I love it. I love everything we're seeing with him. He was a cheaper Chandler Simpson type, and he's doing just that minus the steals, which I'm not worried about those. As Martin actually mentioned on Thursday's Bench with Bubba, the Phillies, I think, have only attempted 3 or 4 steals so far this year, one of the lowest in all baseball.
Yeah.
So his will come if they actually open the door.
Yep.
All right, Washington Nationals, 6 games, 3 at home versus St. Louis, 3 at the Milwaukee Brewers, 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Nats. Like, man, Luis Garcia will sit versus lefties. We thought so, and it is happening. So keep that on your radar. Kiber Ruiz is playing every other day.
I know.
Homer. That's a bit like, I'm just, the Nats are just putting lineups out there that make you chuckle a little bit is the nicest way I'll say it.
Yeah.
There's only like half the lineups locked in, basically.
Curtis Meade started for them. I didn't even know Curtis Meade was on the Nationals. I guess they got him from the White Sox.
They traded for him. The White Sox DFA'd him, and they traded from like the day before the season started or whatever. Like, Jacob Young isn't playing every day. Joey Weimer is beasting out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't believe that sustains.
We got it. Right. We got an early chat question from Anthony, our buddy, the franchise. Do we start taking Joey Weimer seriously? And we are the Joey Weimer fan club, Arizona Fall League legend. I am not. I just think it's a 1 week hot streak.
I will say it's small sample. Like, either is going to be serious regression. He's not hitting 600, but barrel rate is great. Hard hit rate is great. The bat speeds up. His contact skills are really good. Like, everything you want to see is there. It's a hell of a hot streak, and I don't know where it lands in, like, the final resting place is the way I'll put it. I was like, where's the regression monster stop when you're playing the Yodelehi Who game on Price is Right? Like, where does it stop is the answer.
It's been a good week, but I'm not willing to go nuts.
I will say,
pick them up, sure, but, like, don't go crazy for them.
Especially the matchups, the first half, like Pallante, Liberatore, McGreevy. I like Liberatore, but the rest of them. And then you got Sproat, Harrison, Woodruff. I'd probably avoid Milwaukee if I could, because I still believe in Sproat a little bit. But the first half against St. Louis, if you're streaming, I don't hate it. I'm not running to make Joey Weimer a regular, though.
Right. So, right. Yeah, maybe maybe a cheap one just to not miss out, but maybe he won't be cheap because he's hitting well. I did want to throw out Brady House. We talked about Brady House on Tuesday as a bat speed riser, I think. No, not bat speed.
It was the Fab Show last week. I brought him up last week. He's playing every day and got that pedigree. Maybe it's finally time.
Yeah. Thought he came up on the Bloom board. Maybe not. Maybe I'm.
I don't think so.
No. Hallucinating, but he's hitting third, playing time super safe. So Brady House, you just never know. I mean, he's 22 still. Like, wasn't the best last year, but these kids can improve. So I like that as a corner infield play. Already two barrels this year, hitting the ball hard. K rate's up, but the hard contact is there, has been there at least.
No, I like what we're seeing out of Brady House right out the gate. So. Definitely in play. I want nothing to do with any of the pitchers that might be available on the waiver wire.
Just
Clayton Beater's the closer. That's good. I like that as a value all year. Everything else can, like, even Cade Cavalli, he's been fine, but he's not great. Like, that rotation is just stacked against every chance you can.
Yeah. I don't even know if Beater's the closer, but
I don't know if he is either, but how many games does it matter is the problem.
Yeah.
The only guy, never mind. I'm just going to stop. Like, I'm not going. Okay. Yeah. I say Jake Irvin. We talked about him on the Bloom boards. Like, his fastball velo was good, but, like, he'll be serviceable throughout the year in 15s because, yeah, it's what he does. He eats up innings and doesn't get destroyed. So, but he won't add you a ton of strikeouts. So he's not really a great fantasy asset. All right. Center of the Central, Chicago Cubs, 6 games, 3 at the Rays, 3 at home versus Pittsburgh. 1 lefty and 5 righties, and it's a tough week to be a Chicago Cub bat, is what I will say. So most of the guys are rostered anyway, so it saves us from our own problems.
Right. Biggest thing, Seiya Suzuki will be back at some point next week. It was kind of a weird, he's starting his rehab on Friday and anywhere from 3 to 7 games. So I don't know.
Pretty nice window.
Yeah, but could be as early as the full week Monday. Could be later in the week, but either way, keep tabs on that and get Seiya in your lineups. The platoon of Michael Conforto and Matt Shaw are the big losers there. Outside of that, every other Cub, I think, is rostered. So,
Well, the other thing I want to see is, the Conforto-Shaw thing could be an issue. But Seiya coming back with a knee injury.
Yeah, Ballesteros, DH. Yeah, maybe.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, do you want – Seiya's defense already is suspect. That was kind of a – concern coming into the season with Ballesteros, and it's like, Moises Ballesteros is good, but you want Seiya more. Do you want him running around out there coming off a knee injury? That's what I want to see, honestly.
Jordan Lawler, x-rays were negative on his right wrist. He'll get a CT scan on Friday to make sure.
Hey, they're doing the right thing. God dang. A team's actually doing the actual extra scanning. Great to hear.
That's right, man.
They know how to tilt me on a Thursday evening. All right. Cincinnati Reds. They have 7 games this week. 4 at the Miami Marlins. 3 at home versus the Angels, which is pretty sweet stuff there. All righties as well for Cincinnati. So
bad righties.
Stream them if you got them, folks.
Yeah. I shouldn't say bad righties. The Miami ones are at least like Sandy looks like a beast. Yuri Perez. So you got that. But then, But then it's our buddy Kokainowicz, your boy. Is that Ryan Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Great week. Great week for the Reds. Yep. One of the better strikeout minus walk for the pitchers opposing them, and it's all righties. The problem is, am I going to sit here and say Will Benson? Like, I don't know, man.
I don't want to, so I'm with you.
Like, I don't even know if I would pick up Will Benson because we've been down that streaming road before, and it hasn't taken us to great places. And outside of that, I think the biggest thing so far for the Reds lineup is Noelvi Marte. Like, he's just not Noelvi playing.
Platoon-te.
Yeah. I like that one.
You're welcome.
I mean, what do you do if you have Noelvi? I mean,
he was major fade for us, but tough to
have someone on your team who's playing half the time.
Yeah. You drop him. He plays every other day. It sucks, but that's one. Like, if he comes out and gets it done, you just tip your cap in my world, because you can't sit there and keep. Not when there's other options out there, you can go take a chance on the better of your team right now. If you wait 3 weeks, that's 3 weeks of production. You just went down the drain potentially. So,
question about Spencer Steer in the chat. Off to a brutal start, but yeah, I think if you have Spencer Steer, I think he's startable, and certainly in 15 teamers and 12s, maybe a little bit more fringe. Despite the slow start, but this could be a very good get right week for Spencer Steer.
Pretty much, if you have any other Reds regulars, I am putting them in my lineup.
Yeah,
this
I think
week.
So.
I'd like Will Benson is the only one. But if you have one of the main like six, Steer counts as one of those three.
Cabrian Hayes is also out of that group.
Yeah, that's why I narrowed it down to six, Ryan. Because even Stevenson doesn't play every day. Like, I'd still play Stevenson, but the main six that play pretty much every day, I would have them in my lineup this week. All right, the Milwaukee Brewers, they have six games this week, three at Boston, three at home versus the Nationals, two lefties, four righties. And as we mentioned, they face the Nationals, and this Brewers offense is actually really good. So if you slept on Jake Bowers, too bad, because he's already having a really nice week. But he's still only 47% rostered in 12s, so must not be my leagues. But I would be getting Jake Bowers this week yet again.
Yeah, we talked Bowers last week. He was your pretty much top ad, at least for hitters, in your fab column for the Patreon. So that has worked out quite well. I think two homers and two steals.
One homer and two steals.
Yep. Awesome week so far for Jake Bowers, and that will continue, at least for the midterm, given the Andrew Vaughn and Jackson Churio injuries. Although Churio is going to be back, mid-late April, so he's not too far out. Yep. So, I don't know what other pickups, like David Hamilton was, honestly, for me, snuck under my radar, was a very popular pickup. He is running like crazy. Your guy, Garrett Mitchell, is strong side platooning and running. Outside of that, I don't have much else. I'm not going to recommend Lockridge or maybe Joey Ortiz, but that's a deep league play.
Yeah, I had him way down waterfalls in 15s, and it never got there, thank God. But Milwaukee's offense is clicking, and they're running more than almost any team in baseball. So you get those three games over the weekend against Washington, that should get you pretty excited about.
They are in the live bloom boards. We have a teams tab in there. The Brewers, second highest stolen base attempt rate in baseball. The highest belongs to the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well.
I have not.
Wild.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Cool.
Pittsburgh Pirates. They get six games, three at home versus San Diego, three at the Chicago Cubs. Not a bad week if you're a Pirates guy. One lefty and five righties. What do you like here?
I don't know. I don't really like much. Like
Connor Griffin. Oh, he's
what? Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Go pick up Connor Griffin. That's what you tune in for. I mean, the biggest thing is, I guess,
18 Yahoo leagues, go find them.
Hey, I'm in a league shallower than that. So,
how, dude, we never talked about it. Sorry, folks. I know it's a late show. How'd your son's draft go?
He lost interest very quickly.
Dang. Okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
I thought that Papa Blue would be losing the interest first, but gotcha.
Raj took some early Mariners. He was happy about that and then lost interest. So,
gotcha.
We'll be working on it.
It happens. All right. Sorry. Back to the Pirates here. What do you got?
Really, it's more just see what happens with the Nick Gonzalez, Jared Triolo deal. Yeah. But I don't know. Spencer Horwitz? Marcelo Zuna has been terrible. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Pirates haven't been half bad. Like, O'Neill Cruz is hitting, Brian Reynolds, Brandon Lau is hitting. Like, could Brian be a decent lineup, but like, yeah, exactly. I just don't see anything worth adding here.
No, there's really nothing to add there. The only thing I'd mention is
really,
Carbon Majewski. I'm a big Majewski fan here, so he'd be a guy on my list of things to do. 4 1/3, he had 8 Ks in his debut, and coming up this week, Mr. Majewski. He gets the Cubs and Wrigley, which is a plus or minus, but next week he gets Washington.
Yep.
All right. That's probably my top Pittsburgh move, if there's one at all. St. Louis Cardinals, they have 6 games, 3 at Washington, which we'll love, and 3 at home versus Boston, 2 lefties, 4 righties for the St. Louis Cardinals, Ryan.
Yeah, I don't. Jordan Walker's teasing us.
Yeah.
Kind of. weird scene. Times. Mason Wynn walked it off yesterday and then got in a car crash.
He went Tiger Woods on us.
I hope not.
Well, not full Tiger. Sorry, let me rephrase that. Tiger. Full Tiger.
Sounds like no. Oh my God! And more like footage coming.
Everything
out
Everything that comes out, yeah. Dude, there's some great memes though. Like, this is where the internet starts to win. I saw an ET meme that was freaking unbelievable.
So there's literally, I was on, I forget which social media platform I was on, but it was an ad for Sunday Red, and it was actually the coral blue shirt.
Yeah, it sold out.
It
sold out like in like less than like 12 hours or something.
The DUI collection.
Yeah, the DUI collection by Sunday Red.
It's just unreal. I don't know. Probably shouldn't joke about that stuff, but
no,
it was interesting. It had to chuckle a little bit. But yeah, Mason Wynn is okay. Yeah. Mason Wynn is, it was very minor car crash.
Okay, he walked away.
Good to go. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, Jordan Walker is mildly interesting. Nathan Church is not. I don't have much on the cards.
Nathan Church is interesting long term. I think he's going to be a dude, but if you don't want to get him this week, I get it. I wouldn't mind him for the 3 games against Washington. I'll say that much. When you get Lytle, Cavalli, and Mikolas, I wouldn't mind streaming him for those first 3 games. If I'd take him over Joey Weimer this week.
Ooh, that's a take. Okay. So,
yeah. If we're doing just streaming pitchers, that's where I would go with that one.
Wow. All right.
All right. Arizona Diamondbacks. They have 6 games this week, 3 at the Mets, 3 at Philadelphia, 2 lefties and 4 righties for the D-backs. A D-backs team that got absolutely spanked by the Braves on Thursday night, and they might be looking for a third baseman or a left fielder where Jordan Lawler's playing. So what do you got here?
Yeah. Let's see what the news is. With Lawler, Jose Fernandez is an interesting one, right? Like hit 2 homers in his debut and then is not playing on Thursday. So just don't know if the playing time's going to be there. Well, Carlos Santana played at first base in place of Jose Fernandez. So it's not great, but I don't have too much on the Diamondbacks, but I could be missing something.
No, it's pretty much Jose Fernandez. Like, he got the night off because Corbin Carroll got the DH instead of playing the outfield. I guess where that one went. Yeah, Jose Fernandez should have been playing first base. I agree. But it feels like he could DH also in Corbin Carroll. Mix that up, so I wouldn't be shocked if we get a lot of playing time there. If Lawler misses time, does that mean Tim the Toolman plays left field? Is that a thing?
Oh, come on. Let's do it.
That could be a move. I even got my dog excited with that one. So that'd be something to watch this weekend as well. It could be Tim the Toolman time. That's like a buck you can in a 15 teamer. The other thing I'll mention is Jonathan Loaisiga got the save on Wednesday, but that's after Seawald pitched back to back days. So don't get too excited there.
Yeah, agreed. Fernandez is my biggest add if he plays regularly over the weekend. So, but let's see.
Yep, agreed. All right, Colorado Rockies, 7 games this week, 3 at home versus Houston, 4 at the Padres, 7 righties on tap to face the Rockies. It's a shame Mickey Moniak is on the IL. These are the weeks we dream about with Mickey Moniak. What do you like here?
I like the fact that they are running a ton. That is very good. Jake McCarthy is leading off and has four steals already. Four steals with a 158 OBP. How the hell is that possible?
Get on and run, baby. Get on literally. And run. Steal second and third of it. He goes full Ricky out there.
He's full Ricky. So that's a good sign. Brenton Doyle's off too. I mean, the Rockies are, God, half their lineup's hitting under 200. Willie Castro's hitting 130. Jordan Beck, 125. Brenton Doyle, 150. Kyle Karros, 211. Jeez.
TJ Rumfield, who's 33% rostered in 12s.
Yeah, and I think we had a question in the chat early about Rumfield. Yep. Do we believe in him? I don't know if I even have to believe. Like, he's playing right now, and he's playing well, and he's hitting fifth, and I think that's reason enough to take a gamble here and see what we have. I'm skeptical, but, like, it's a hitter's paradise, and the playing time seems safe. So, yeah, I like TJ Rumfield.
Yeah, he's hitting 429 so far. He had five homers in spring. He's already got one this season. You know, the barrel rate's not bad. Like, I'll take him while he's until Charlie Condon decides to show up and take his job. Like, you just keep rolling that out there.
And I think that'll be a little while. So, the Mighty Krim could come back at some point, but
yeah, Blaine Krim. The question was from Tom Lachlan, by the way, but yeah, I would keep him on your radar for sure.
What are you doing with Willie Castro? Brenton Doyle, you're starting Doyle. Castro, I don't know, man, sitting both. Third, but like.
I'm starting both, at least in the cooler series to start the week. Like, I'm not running away from that by any means.
Yeah.
But,
and Willie Castro, like, if Colorado runs a ton, I mean, Willie Castro, assuming he can get on base regularly, would be a prime beneficiary of that.
And, like, looking at Willie Castro, like, his barrel rates, his hard hit rates, again, it's a small sample. It's pretty much in line with his career norms. So let's just, let's see where, like, his ground ball rate's up almost 14% in the first week. That's probably not going to sustain, I'd imagine. If it does, then yes, we have a problem. But if he starts to revert back, I think we're just fine.
Did you and Sikulski talk about Charlie Condon?
Yes.
Horace asked, are they committed to getting him up to the bigs this year?
Yeah, eventually they will. Like, I think it he might force the thing. It feels like a Zach Veen situation. If he just forces their hand, he'll break through. He'll be up eventually no matter what. But he's crushing it right out the gate, which might make things quicker to the bigs. But Rumfield's also helping them not have to do that.
Right.
Keep that in mind.
Yep.
The Los Angeles Dodgers have six games this week, three at Toronto, three versus Texas, all righties for the Dodgers. A Dodgers team that we pretty much don't have to worry about the waiver wires for.
Right. I have absolutely nothing here.
Yeah, when it comes to hitting, pitching, it does not matter with the Dodgers. San Diego Padres, they have seven games, three at Pittsburgh, four at home versus Colorado, two lefties and five righties for a Padres team that really can't figure it out at the plate right now.
No, cannot. Even Nick Castellanos is starting to play more. Miguel Andujar is not. That's not a good sign, but generally a pretty stable lineup. I mean, the only option could be Gavin Sheets, but against five righties, I don't know. Deep leagues maybe, but that's about it. The rest of these guys are either not good or owned.
Are you jumping on the Randy Vasquez train? This week he gets Colorado at home.
Of course, but yeah, that'll be – so a lot will depend on – he'll be expensive because of that start, but a lot will depend on how Vasquez looks at Boston. Does he hold that velocity gain that we talked about on the Tuesday show, right? It's been the biggest gain of any starting pitcher this season versus last year, and you can be a different pitcher very quickly if you're throwing harder. So, yeah, I'm – very interested in Randy Vasquez. Was probably scooped up in deeper leagues last week, but in 12s.
56%. So he's still out there.
So it's a great start, Road Rockies, for Randy V.
Yep. And then the Giants, they have six games this week, three at home versus Philly, three at Baltimore, one lefty and five righties. And that Giants offense has woke up, folks. I could see it going to sleep quickly, but right now they're scoring runs in bunches, which is nice to see. Devers even went deep in a ballpark he's not supposed to homer in, according to many.
You so, always get that in, don't you?
Oh, because it's the most like egregious shit sometime, man. Like, come on, people. But one lefty and five righties for the Giants this week. The problem is it's really funny watching this Vitello guy. So the first four games, like the first three games, no runs scored. So the first four games, four different lineups. Since they won a game on Monday, it's been the same lineup the last four games. Like, he hasn't changed it since they won. So I can't tell you what really is going to happen right now. I think how the days like Patrick Bailey finally got a day off today. Otherwise, it's been pretty much the same lineup all season.
One thing he did change that we should talk about is Ryan Walker showed up in the sixth inning of a four run lead, a brand new inning, not a leverage situation, not in a jam, random sixth inning after Robbie Ray pitched five of a four run lead. That makes zero sense to me, and is just like totally out of left field. Right.
And it's weird because the bullpen's pretty much held, like they barely used the bullpen in San Diego since Monday, since he got the save. Tuesday and Wednesday was barely utilized. They called up Blake Tidwell when Jose Buto went on the IL. So Tidwell got the three inning save. He pitched the seventh, eighth, and ninth. I don't know. It's baffling. We've been recording since he had his presser. So
yeah, he had a presser. I hope
someone asked him. I saw the video, but I was on mute. So I hope someone asked him a question on that. But yeah, we talk about guys coming in like in a close game in the seventh or whatever, and you're like, okay, what leverage? This made absolutely zero sense. None whatsoever. So, and I told you before the show, I said, the shame is I think Keaton Wynn is a sneaky guy to add now, because if Walker does struggle and he has not looked perfect already this year, and we were already concerned coming into the year, Keaton Wynn's got the goods to get the job done. Like, he looks really good. Former like high end draft pick, was going to be a starter that he might be finding his calling in the bullpen. And he's been like that eighth inning guy. I could see him being the one getting the gig, if especially with Buto going to the IL. So Keaton Wynn's a guy if you want to speculate for real cheap this week. If a couple more struggles from Walker, Keaton Wynn could be your dude.
From Susan Slusser, tweeted about a half hour ago, Vitello used Ryan Walker in the sixth, reasoning that might be the most high leverage situation of the game. And he also, and also like the extreme contrast between Robbie Ray and Ryan Walker in terms of, I think, release points.
So, I would say lefty righty, because when I went to the Giants game on Saturday, Walker was like the hardest throwing reliever they had that game, which is scary to think about already. But
that was the reasoning.
Highest leverage spot in the sixth inning. Good Lord.
Bases loaded, fresh new inning.
Folks, if you just like tuned in to watch me tilt stuff, it's going to be a hell of a year. So I'm going to say if he's using comments like that right now, like I'm
going to long for the days of Bob Melvin.
Oh, no. Gabe Kapler, maybe, not Bob Melvin. At least Kapler was dumb enough to keep it entertaining. Melvin just stinks. Anything else on the Giants?
No, that was good enough.
All right. Let's talk some two-star pitchers then, and we'll get this rocking and rolling here. All right, you ready?
Always.
Arizona, Zach Gallen at the Mets at Philadelphia. He's been tough. Good so far.
Tough, he's but good. He's looked tough good. Matchup. So yeah, you do it, but tough schedule.
Yeah, he's looked good. He faced the Dodgers and looked good, but yeah, very tough schedule, both on the road. The A's, you got Savali at the Yankees at the Mets. I can't.
As much as I want to say yes to piss you off, I can't.
No, I can't at all. Braves, you're starting Chris Sale. He was sick. You're still starting Chris Sale. If it's Dean Kramer at the White Sox versus the Giants, I think that's a heck yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to the Dean's office.
Yeah, Dean Kramer. Come on, Mr. Blutarski. I wish I had drops on this show. I'd have all kinds of cool stuff. Brian Bayo versus Milwaukee at St. Louis.
15s, I could see you doing it. Yes, St. Louis 15s, is a nice start, but not 12, so for sure.
Milwaukee's terrifying. St. Louis is definitely worth a peek. Jameson Taillon at Tampa Bay versus Pittsburgh. I think that's a yes.
I think that's a yes, but he's been pretty rough. But I think that's a yes in 15s.
I agree. It's not ideal, but yes. I don't know what Cincinnati's doing because Lodolo will not be pitching.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Tanner Bibee versus Kansas City at Atlanta.
Ooh, yeah.
Kansas City's nice. Atlanta's waking up, but yeah, you got to do it.
Yep.
Bibee's velocity has gone down both starts. He starts out good. I'm still worried about him, but yes, you start him. Rockies, do you just want me to stop there? Do you want me to say Ryan Feltner and Kyle Freeland?
Just stop before I get tempted by Kyle Freeland and Feltner again.
That's where I was going, because I know Ben would be looking at Feltner going, maybe. White Sox, Eric Fede, Baltimore at Kansas City.
I'm not doing it, no. I don't think
Shane
he's good.
Smith, who's been atrocious, versus Baltimore at Kansas City.
It's tough because there's the old adage, right? If you don't start on a two-step ladder, you have him. But I think in this case, you bench and just see how he looks. Yeah, I think in this case, you bench and see how he looks. You don't want to cut Shane Smith over one bad start, right?
It's been two. So.
Oh, it's been that's right. It has been two. Still, you don't want to.
I agree.
That's a rash decision.
But it's one of those. By when we get towards the end of April, you might be dropping Shane Smith. Detroit, you're starting Skubal, but Casey Mize at Minnesota versus Miami. That's a
Of course, yeah.
It's a really good one. Hunter Brown at Colorado, at Seattle. Yes. Kansas City, Noah Cameron at Cleveland versus the White Sox.
Yeah. Norm, I mean, normally you'd probably skip this one, but yes.
I'm skipping Cole Reagan's. I just want to hear you say Noah Cameron's.
I would start Noah Cameron, given the case in that he's shown so far this season, as well as two good matchups.
Yep. Jose Soriano versus Atlanta at Great American Small Park.
Keep rolling. Who cares about small park? Yep. Ground balls.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Miami, we already said yes to Jansen Junk versus Cincinnati at Detroit, and you're probably starting Sandy Alcantara as well, who's looking amazing so far. Brandon Woodruff at Boston versus Washington.
Has he started
yet? Yeah, he threw decent in his first start. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go then.
Yeah, you got to, especially for that Washington start.
Yep.
Joe Ryan versus Detroit at Toronto. Yes. First start was good. Second start, not so much. Taj Bradley versus Detroit at Toronto.
Yeah, I would throw that.
Keep rolling. Freddie Peralta's yes. Cam Schlittler's yes. Andrew Painter at the Giants versus Arizona.
Yep.
Bubba Chandler versus San Diego at the Cubs.
Oh, boy. Yes, but man.
Stop walking, everybody.
Stop walking, everybody. Get those sleep mechanics in order.
Yes. Germán Márquez at Pittsburgh versus Colorado.
No, I'm not starting your boy.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I added him last week.
It is Road Rockies. It is Road Rockies.
And I watched that start against the Giants, and it was a Babbitt haven. Like, they had some hard hit balls, to get me wrong, but there was a lot of things that could have went differently, and I'm going to tell myself that until the end of next week when I drop them. Nick Pivetta at Pittsburgh versus Colorado, yes. Logan Gilbert, yes. Adrian Hauser versus Philadelphia at Baltimore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hell no.
He pitched well, but yeah, I'm not doing that. Andrew Pallante at Washington versus Boston.
No.
Yeah, no. Ryan Pepiel's back, so you're pitching him. Jacob DeGrom, you're pitching. Scherzer, Gosman, you're pitching. Zach Lytle versus St. Louis at Milwaukee.
In 15s, I'd consider Littell, but that's it. I probably wouldn't even do it.
Yeah, it's tricky. Like, you got to be desperate, and hopefully not desperate this time of the year already. So probably not doing it. If this was September, might be a different story right now.
See, I'm
my ratios are already blown up. Like, let's take it easy.
Yeah.
All right. Listener questions from the Discord, Ryan. Straface says, how are you guys handling Shane Smith? Just bench him for now, or is he dropped pretty brutal first week from him? I think we just said bench the two-step, right?
Shane Smith?
Yep.
Yeah, I would bench him. I would not drop him yet.
Agreed. Richard Sands says, now that Colt Emerson has signed, would you bid on him in a 15? And if so, how high would you go? I still feel like he's like a month or two away. Maybe I'm just not being as optimistic as others.
If I had to guess, I have no insight. I mean, I'd follow the Mariners, but I would guess he's not up in April. I would guess it's sometime mid-late May, something like that. And so I think in most leagues, it's a little early to get Colt Emerson, because he's like 19. It's like, just don't know how he's going to do right away.
If you could stash him, probably play $30 to $50, because like other people have that idea in your deal if you want to stash him. But I think you still have some time to wait on that one. Dustin Anderson, Bryce Miller is available in a 15 teamer worthy of a stash. No other stashes on my roster. I'll let you answer that question.
If you have no other stashes on your roster, sure. But like the second another one of your players gets hurt, you can move on from Bryce Miller.
Yeah, don't pay a lot for him. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. Like don't be invested in him at all, really.
Cool. Steve Brun, Matt McClain was dropped in a 12-teamer. What would you bid? 80 to 100.
Yeah, bucks. It's not what would you bid. It's no, it's not would you bid. It's what would you bid. You're the 12s guy.
I'd say at least 80 to 100. I could see a world where you're going to need more than 200 for him.
If you really want him,
you're probably going up to 250 to make sure you get him.
Why was he draw? Is the surface stats not good?
It's a slow start, but like on that bat speed thing, he's still one of the risers that you gave me. Like he's still swinging it well. He's just off to a slow start.
He's hitting 190, but already it's three barrels and 27 plate appearances. I'm not.
I'd probably put at least 250 in there, Steve. Go get him.
There we go. He went from 80 to 250.
12 teamer, you can get dollar ads later in the year. Like, go get him.
Yep.
That's one thing I'm trying to tell myself from last, like listening to Guilds and our buddy Waddell and those guys telling me to spend more money. Diaversio says, bid on Logan Henderson in the 15. The news on him is a bit confusing. I'd rather stash Logan Henderson than Bryce Miller. Henderson looked good in his last minor league start. Like, I'd rather start it, like, stash him.
Which isn't saying much, but yeah. Agreed. I guess I'd bid on him if you have room to stash. I wouldn't bid more than like 30, 40 bucks.
That's fair.
Something like that.
Yeah. Don't go crazy, but I would stash him over Bryce Miller. Like, I have no problem holding on to Logan Henderson if you can. Allman says, some notable names in a 12-teamer weekly lineup points league. Durbin, Stott, Bowers, Hamilton, Weimer, Lauder, Caballero. Any worth adding? I'd likely drop Landon Roop. First off, I want to think twice. Well, at 12, I guess you could. But I still like Landon Roop. But in a 12-teamer points league, Ryan, any of those names like Bowers, I would say, stands out to me.
Probably Stott Bowers with the most.
He's coming up this week. But yeah, Bowers would be my top ad. It's points league, Caballero runs like crazy.
Right, so it depends what steals are, but points, you get the walks. Bowers might be the ad. It's tough to say drop him for Landon Roop because you just don't know the hitting pitching split. But I think Bowers is probably your best shot there.
Agreed. Ben Bingham says, who are some guys with reduced playing time that we thought would be full-timers going into the season? Guys we might be starting without realizing they're not playing every day. We hit on most of them throughout the team-by-team stuff, but like, even Kyber Ruiz playing every other day surprised me a lot, honestly.
Yeah. I would say Noel V. Marte is the one that comes to mind, right? The guy you thought would be a full-timer. And the law dog, correct. So
like he's really not playing at all.
And it's hard to hold those guys if they're not playing. It's just,
especially if you're in 12 teams or less. If you're in a shallow league, like they really are doing nothing for you at all.
Yep.
Smokey Joe, do you ever go three catchers and 15 teamer, especially early in the season because of the lack of supply, and to at least give yourself a choice of struggling catchers that were drafted? No, I will not do that. Not at all.
Unless I have an injured catcher.
Yeah. Like where I have Kyle Teal, I have
team where I've got three catchers, but
fair enough. If it's injured, but he's talking about three guys to make sure he has someone to decide between two guys for his catcher too. No, I'm not doing that. Not going to happen. Yeah. So there's a question there. They answered their own question. Kevin says, how much are we bidding on Kyle Isbell and Liam Hicks? Great question, Kevin. Great question. Kyle Isbell, 5 to 10 bucks. Liam Hicks, probably similar. Maybe a little more for Liam Hicks if he really needed a catcher too.
Interesting. You were all hunky dory on Isbell. 5, 10 bucks.
I like him a lot. That's not much. You don't have to break the bench. I said it's a guy I'd probably drop at the end of the week, so I'm not breaking the bank on him.
Typically, season for me, if it's a weekly streamer, I'm between the 10 and 20 range. Maybe that's a little aggressive,
fair. I might change my tune come Sunday.
Yeah, I'd probably be in the teens on those guys.
That's fair. Yeah, Hicks for sure. I'd be more towards 15 to 20 just because if you're buying the adjustments, I saw some videos. He's actually legit made a swing adjustment with like a different step to the pitcher and stuff. So it's allowing him to pull the ball more, which he's definitely doing right now. Lang says, is Dom Smith a 25% bid at this point? Close. No, hilarious. He's not.
Lang thinks he's funny. That's
he's like $25 maybe, but not 25%.
And hilarious.
They face a lot of lefties next week.
Hilarious.
Dustin Anderson says, have to save some money for DuPont.
This is what I mean, man. Everyone freaking gets on my case.
This is good. No, they're not. They're not on your case. They're on my side. There's a difference. Adam Brunchen says, Gregory Soto or Cole Sands. the drop being Eflin or Uribe. I would drop Eflin because Uribe might actually be worth something at some point. I think Eflin's done. We'll still have to see, but Soto or Sands? I think Soto, honestly.
Well, you already answered Soto in the Discord, so we'll say Soto. Actually, no, I'm going to say Sands.
Sands might be the guy that Soto's going to get his chances. He already has. He's pitched a lot of high leverage. Like, they're both coin tosses in the end. Whichever one's cheaper would be my answer.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Doom says, did this Ryan Walker appearance just blow up the upcoming Fab Pod? No, it wasn't great. It wasn't great, but yeah.
Real quick in the chat, this one just came in. I know we're going late, but whatever. What's this barrel stat that you sometimes refer to, like you, when you said you had Matt McClain with three barrels? It's so you can Google it. It's my go-to stat for power for hitters. It's a Statcast metric. A barrel is a ball that's hit very hard at a either line drive or fly ball, basically. It's basically a hard hit line drive or fly ball, if I'm going to explain it in one sentence. But you can go, it's everywhere. It's on Fangraphs. It's on Baseball Savant. It's my go-to power metric. Early in the season, I like to talk about number of barrels as opposed to barrel rate, just because the percentages at this point are kind of moot. But that's what that is.
Yep, good answer there. And we'll leave with a good note here. Forrest says, fun Connor Griffin fact, I learned tonight that he got married in January. Are there any stats that meaningfully improve after a player gets married? No, not at all. Just kidding. Final thoughts this week, Ryan. Final thoughts.
Doesn't seem like a major fab week for me in terms of spend. Again, things can change, right? Friday, Saturday games, but going through every single team, it seems like another kind of tame week, in my opinion.
From the list I made here, it's a lot of streams.
Yeah.
Like there's only a couple guys I could see like really sticking in my team for
a while. No big closer changes or anything.
But even like a Jake Bowers, you're going to get a month out of him probably at least where he's full time. Like Brady House is maybe your third baseman if you do believe in Cole Young, those kind of guys. But for the most part, it's a ton of like streaming options right now. All right, we'll wrap it up there.
We got prenup advice in the chat going on here. It's time to.
But he already got married. Now he's signing the contract. He screwed that one up. Godspeed, Connor. We'll wrap it up there. Make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick. This is Bubba the Bloom episode 335. Catch y'all next time.